have MS, multiple sclerosis, and I'm 26 years old. It means that my immune system attacks my nervous system, affecting touch, sight, movement. Maybe one day I'll end up in a wheelchair, maybe I won't. But this isn't a story about that. It's about my girlfriend, Patch. She has thyroid cancer.
I don't think they knew what stage it was at the time, but I think it ended up being stage 3 or 4. Papillary carcinoma. They took all my thyroid gland out and cut 40 lymph nodes out on the right side of my neck and had to scrape the cancer off the nerves that are attached to my voice box because they were all kind of gnarly and intertwined in that area. And so they came around the next morning to see if I could still speak. Followed by a therapeutic dose of I-131, which is radioactive iodine. And I stayed in the lead-lined room for 3.5 days before getting a full body scan to see where the iodine uptake was. It showed a black spot in my neck, and then you could see the entire outline of my stomach, my part of my intestine, my stomach lining, and all of my bladder, which kind of was validating to me because I felt really, really ill.
We got together a few months after all of this, which was coincidentally not long after another friend of mine died from bowel cancer. And there I am, falling in love, at lightning pace, with this gorgeous, fiercely intelligent artist with a killer sense of humour. So she's got cancer, and I'm understandably terrified. Falling in love isn't easy when your body's sick, especially when your lover's is as well. Fear and love for your partner is matched by this private guilt. I can deal with something that happens to me. I've learned how to deal with my MS. But this is my lover. Why should she have to deal with anything? A few months after her surgery, Patch has her first scan to see if the cancer has come back to haunt her. She has to take I-131. It's a pill of radioactive iodine that can specifically target and kill thyroid tissue. It's a silver bullet for this type of cancer. But this pill makes her radioactive. My girlfriend is radioactive. We have to stay 2 meters apart. She's terrified of contaminating me. I'm terrified that she has cancer again and I don't want to leave her. So at night I sleep on a yoga mat in the corner of the room. She wedges herself between the mattress and the wall because she's worried she'll roll closer to me in the night. The scan comes back clear. Round 2 is rolled up, another year, another scan. Today Patch took a small dose of I-131. We're back at her house. I'm sitting 2 meters across from her in her room, an invisible nuclear mist separating us. She can't really go anywhere else right now, has to flush the toilet 3 times every time she uses it, and can't prepare food for anyone but herself. And she just deals with it. We've talked before about how we both like to keep certain daily battles private. It can make life less dramatic, less of a spectacle. She's an artist and her room is a wondrous heaving labyrinth of paintings, magazine cutouts and vintage film equipment, ordered chaos at its finest. In a pile of old sketchbooks, I unearth one she took with her to hospital. There's one page of writing, neat and small, but sprawling.
I wonder if all cancer patients are religious. Or do they become religious? Somehow I kinda wouldn't be surprised. A 60-something-year-old Italian woman told my mum she's praying for me, She also prays for Betty, the lovely 85-year-old who knows she is going home to die. I'm really scared and trying to stay positive, know that I am going to be fine. Betty talks about guardian angels in an optimistic, querying sort of way, and the good news she's heard about pawpaw ointment. I offer her mine. She says she's okay. I'm thinking about the pros and cons of where I'm at, this constant mode of weighing things up. I'm lucky, but what if I'm not? I don't really think it's healthy to acknowledge worst-case scenarios, especially in this case, as I don't know the finer details lending toward a slow end. I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be someone who is a long-term sufferer who spends their years in and out of hospital. I'm never sick, just have a track record of being drastic. 3 broken arms and now thyroid cancer? Well, hopefully not anymore. This doctor is talking to Betty about her options for the remainder of her life, and he carries out 2 phone calls about building a raised flower bed between the stormwater drain and his back fence, about the silicon joins in the PVC pipe around the driveway, and could they bring in some stone samples, some decorative stones. Everything feels so dire, but also in slow motion. We're a sick mob.
There was an old lady dying on the bed next to me when I was in hospital too, when I was diagnosed with MS. And I lay there listening to this woman breathe, slower and slower. Each rattling breath could have been her last. A lot of the things Patch says really resonate with me. Dealing with something that's bigger than you, that's happening inside you, is hard. I tell her she's dealt with it all with incredible composure.
No, I haven't dealt with it all with amazing composure and deadpan humor and, you know, pillars of, you know, strength beyond human conception or anything like that. I have been really depressed, really alone in the whole experience, really, like, not knowing how to communicate it to anyone, really bad and upset, and spent a lot of time alone crying and alone drinking fucking bourbon and gin straight from the bottle with no eyes. It's a really classy alone time. And I have, yeah, I mean, I took a lot of photos of my scar as it was healing. I took a lot of photos of my neck. I strangely took a lot of photos of my neck in the years before I found out that I had cancer, in this really strange foreshadowing, premonitionary kind of way. I guess you could say that I had composure in the sense that I didn't want to make it a big deal for anyone. That's why a bunch of my friends were really sort of angry at me for not being really transparent about having cancer to them straight away. They felt like I had, like, left them out of the loop. And I guess I had, but I don't know. It wasn't because I'm this ridiculous altruist who is the most selfless person on earth. It was probably just because I didn't want to upset them, but also I didn't want to have to deal with them being so upset, because I couldn't deal with that.
It's upsetting to hear her talk about how alone she felt. I wasn't there at the time, but I think I understand. You can feel alone, loved and supported at the same time. But there are some things that are just yours, and yours to fight in your own way. Today is scan day, again. Patch now has a regular entourage. Her mum, dad, her housemate, and me. We're in the waiting room, not really reading trashy magazines. I'm trying to play it cool, but I have a constant monologue in my head. It's taking too long, isn't it? They must have found something bad. Have they? No, No, she's fine. Right? An hour later, Patch emerges through a set of heavy white doors. All good means clean scan. Eventually it sinks in. No cancer, round two.
Can you check your diary? Because maybe I do have an appointment with him.
Patch starts booking her appointment for her scan next year. But then her doctor, this usually reserved guy, practically runs up to her in the hallway, pumping his fists, grinning from ear to ear. Yes, great news, he says, bouncing on the balls of his feet. Why are you making an appointment to see me? You don't need to do that. You're in the clear.
I can't see anything.
Oh,
what do you?
Look, I missed that bit.
Oh, did you?
You missed that bit.
Yay!
Patch's mum begins to cry quietly. Later she says it's as much of a shock to find out that her daughter doesn't have cancer as it was to find out that she did. I still can't touch one side of her face because the nerves haven't fully grown back. But I can hold her. And I do.
Would you call yourself a fighter?
No. We're not fighters, we're lovers. I think it's a bit different for me, though, because I am fortunate enough to be able to use more past tense, more confident language around cancer, whereas you live with MS. I don't think it's the same at all. I think that I feel guilty about being lucky in relation to you.
I'm heartbroken. She's more worried about me having MS than her having cancer. I guess that's just how it is. I worry about her, she worries about me. These medical quandaries we're in make us tight, like glue, but they've also become run-of-the-mill, just normal daily life to us now. We wake up, we take medicine, we hold hands and live our lives. And in spite of everything, or even because of everything, that's worth fighting for.
Losing the reasons why. You're losing the calling that you've been faking. And I'm not kidding. It's damned if you don't, it's damned if you do. Violent flight, and you will be changed.